We are coming to the conclusion of Sefer Bereishis. It's Parashat Vayechi. Kriyas HaTorah, this Shabbos is going to end with the cry of Chazak, Chazak, V'nit Chazek. And there are very, very significant loose ends that have to be tied up and brought together. There are issues that have to be resolved, and they have to be resolved in Parashat Vayechi. And we will see that up until that very last pasuk, there are major problems that are beginning to find ultimately their real solution. And then, you know, it's fascinating. There are very subtle ways in which Torah tells us significant messages. Sometimes they don't have to write it clearly that this is the message, but if you take a closer look, you'll see that that's the message. For example, we had one right over here. Number one on the sheet is the last pasuk in Parashat Vayigash, and it's immediately followed by the beginning of Parashat Vayechi. Now we're going to see that there is something unusual about the end of Parashat Vayigash and the beginning of Parashat Vayechi that does not appear anywhere else in Torah. Only here. No. In a moment, you'll know exactly what it is. The last pasuk of Vayigash is Vayeshev Yisrael Beretz Mitzrayim, Beretz Goshen. Yisrael settled, lived in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, Vayeach Zuba. The Yisrael over here is really talking about the people Israel, not Yaakov Avinu. Vayeach Zuba, extremely important word. Vayeach Zuba, they took hold of it. In other words, their settling in the land took on, to an extent, a degree of permanence. Vayeach Zuba comes from the word achuza, a heritage and an inheritance. Vayifru vayirbu yod, they were fruitful and they multiplied in great measure. This last pasuk is a quite a description and tells us what's happening in Mitzrayim. And not only it tells us what's happening in Mitzrayim, it's also going to introduce us to all of Parashat Vayechi, because there's going to be a theme that will be repeated in Parashat Vayechi over and over and over again. That theme is going to begin at the very outset of the Sefer, where Yaakov Avinu is going to administer an oath to his son Yosef, Al no tibereini b'mitzchayim, don't bury me in Egypt. When I die, you are to take me and bury me in the burial place of my forefathers in the Marat HaMachpelah. At the very end of the Seder, we're going to see Yosef. Yosef is going to administer an oath to his brothers, Poko, Yifkod, Hashem, Elokim Etchem, God is going to remember you, V'ha'alitim at Atzmotai, he said, take my bones out of here. When you go out, take me out. What is it about the end of Parashat Vayigash and the beginning of Parashat Vayechi that's different than any other Seder? Simply the fact that at the end of any other Seder, you will see in the Chumash there are those pays, which means that there is a separation, there is a pause. The next Seder begins on the following line. There's a new paragraph that begins with a new parasha. Parashat Vayigash and Vayechi follow one another immediately. There is no pause. And Rashi is going to tell us that Parashat Zu Stuma, this parasha is closed, shut, sealed. There isn't the open space that you see at the end of every Seder, between the end of every Seder and the beginning of the following Seder. Number two, by Yehi Yaakov Eret Mitzchayim Shvazri, Shalai Yaakov lived in the land of Egypt 70 years, by Yehi Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chayov, sum total of his years was 7 years, 40s, and 147 years. By Yikru Vumei Yisrael Olud, and the time for Yisrael to die is growing close. By Yikrol of Noli Yosef, he called his son Yosef, and he told him, Inam Otzati Chayim Be'inecha, I... Ben Elderen darf in Umkim in Zekinde, you understand? Oh, if I found favor in your eyes, understand? Yaakov Avinu has to say to his son, if I found favor in you, do me a teiva, a let's the teiva. But it's a big teiva. It's a big one. This is not a simple request that he is making. This is a serious, serious request. Simna Yotko Tachakidehi, put your hand by my thigh. Vasita Yevdi Chesed Vemet, do with me kindness and truth. Al Noti Berein Mitzchayim. The Barnzuch Yosef. The Barnzuch, don't bury me in Mitzchayim. Shachafti Yavavotan, when I will die in Satani Mitzchayim, pick me up and take me out of Mitzchayim, Kvartani Bitrafam. And bury me in their burial place. By Yomath, and Yosef said, Onochi e'eseh ki dvodecho, I will do as your words. By Yomath wasn't enough for Yaakov. He shoveled, he swore to me. By Yishavalon, and he swore to him. By Yishtachu Yisrael al Kol Shemitah. And Yisrael bowed to the head of the bed. Chazal saying that the Shechinah hovers over the head of the bed of one who is ill. And he is thankful that he has a son here in Mitzrayim who will have the ability to carry this out. This is not a simple undertaking. It's not a matter of getting on to an El Al flight, to understand. This is we're talking about a major undertaking to take Yaakov Avinu from Mitzrayim and bury him in the Lo Asa Bachpeh. Rashi says, number three, by Yechi Yaakov, Lama Parsha Zu Stuma. Why is this passage closed? There is no pause, no separation between the end of Vayikash and the beginning of Vayikash. So Rashi says, Lefishin Kibon Shenifta Yaakov Avinu, since Yaakov Avinu passed away, Nistemu Einem, the Libam Shal Yisrael, Mitzoras Hashibud. The eyes of the Jewish people were closed because of the tzava, the enslavement in one way or another was going to begin with the death of Yaakov. But of course it intensifies with the death of Yosef. Yes?
How was it then done in the time when they read the Torah in 3 years?
When they had what?
When they read the Torah in 3 years instead of in 1 year. How were the parshiot divided up in the Torah?
I have a friend of mine who's been working for about 20 years to write a major work on the triennial cycle. In Eretz Yisrael, they read the Torah in 3 year cycles, how it was divided. Now he's worked 20 years and he has not yet published. So you think I'm going to be able to tell you what it was like. If we're talking Yiddish already, Fold Mechagam, my wedding will take place. I cannot answer that question. Listen, I'm happy if I know a little bit about the our 1 year cycle. Yeah, but Rashi often, I don't have a clue. I can say with an easy conscience that I don't have a clue how the triennial cycle worked. Anyway, Shebchil Shabda, because the Egyptians began to enslave them. Most probably the beginning of the enslavement was very subtle, because remember Yosef is still alive, and at the next week's Seder we're going to learn about By Yochom Melech Chodosh, a new king arose, Ashelo Yoda Es Yosef, who didn't know Yosef. The king who knew Yosef was still alive. But I hope we will get to that part of the Shia yet, at which there's going to be a a significant aspect of Yosef's greatness was he didn't fool himself. He knew what I think we still have to learn today. We'll see that it's a mission in others, but it is usually quoted as de Gaulle saying it. Nations don't have friends, they have interests. They have interests. If the interests of the United States of America will not be in tune with the interests of the State of Israel, then you can be absolutely certain that America is going to do what's best for America. And that's our good friend. Yep, Yosef knows that the 7 years of plenty, and finally it turned out to be only 2 years of famine, are long over. What did you Jews do for us lately? Yosef is already not Yosef the Great, especially if they had great respect for Yaakov, as the world had respect for Avram and Yitzchak, but now Yaakov will pass away, and then everything begins to change. Everything begins to change. The attitude, the approach, the feelings, if there ever were feelings. I don't know if there ever were feelings. We say there were interests. But all right, well, let's wait with that. And then Rashi says, Doracha, Shebikesh Mikalot HaKeitz, why is the parsha closed? Because Yaakov wanted to reveal to them the end. When will this all be over? Bikesh the Galot HaKeitz Lebonov to his sons, the Nistam Minanu, but it was closed off from him. So it says in the Bereishis Chav. It was closed off from him. There may be another meaning to the two parashiyot being there up against one another. It's the last pasuk in Parashat Vayigash that is going to be the reason for just about everything that takes place in Parashat Vayechi. Jews are very comfortable in Mitzrayim.
Too comfortable.
Yaakov and Yosef are going to take all sorts of steps in order to inculcate in all of their children, this is not our home, this is not our native land, you can be born in Egypt, but you should know this is Golus over here. This is foreign, alien, strange soil. And the day is going to come when we're going to have to leave. Yaakov takes the first step. He knows, and we'll see in a moment or a number of classic sources that we're going to deal with. Yaakov Avinu is not only concerned about the fact that he doesn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim. There are reasons why he doesn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim. Rashi is going to say it because he was afraid that they would turn him into some kind of a deity. He also didn't want to go through what the Gemara says is the process of those who are buried in Chutz Laaretz when Kriyas HaMeisim comes. But there was more than that, much, much more to that. What he wanted the Jewish children to know for all time, Kever Ovis is in Eretz Yisrael. The place to go to is Eretz Yisrael. That's the place where we live, and that's where the place where we are buried. There's a classic Klei Yoker, number four. This Klei Yoker, I think for many years people, you know, they don't want to learn this Klei Yoker. Just follow me. I'll be skipping around a little bit, but it's a classic document. And he says, as a matter of fact, why did the divine presence? Why did the divine presence leave him? So he says, Al kein bo parsha zu stuma. He says it out clearly. Why is this parsha closed? Somehow, so that Parshas Vayechi should be close to the pasuk by Yeshev Yisrael be'eretz Goshen. Israel lived in the land of Goshen. Lefisha mehayodu hashi moshech nezek gadol min yediyah pekeitz. He's going to go on to say that knowing when the end is can be extremely harmful and damaging. What would have happened? What would have happened if after Churban Bayit Sheni we would have been told prophetically, listen guys, we got a long haul, another 2,000 years to go. So I mean, that would have been the most destructive piece of information. You know, you're better off not knowing.
Yeah.
You're better off not knowing. It would cause a loss of hope, a loss of inertia, of strength, of a concern to do anything. So he says, they shouldn't know when the end is coming. But then, down where it's underlined, if they would know when the end is, God says they will not call to me, they're not going to look back to the previous generations. If they know that, well, we're going to be here 400 years, you know, whatever it is, we're going to be here 400 years, we're going to be 1,000 years. So you know what they're going to do? For Yevakshulesha, Yeshiva Shel Kevar, Biharzal Sa'amim. You know what they're going to want? They're going to want to settle permanently into the lands of the nations of the world, Liyot Lahem Achuzah, that their inheritance is going to be there. Umid Yashim and Agulam, they're simply going to give up hope of redemption. We're here for a long haul anyway. We might as well make it comfortable while we're going to be here. Al Kain Sotam. That's why it's closed, it's locked. The secret of when the Golus ends is closed. The Chotam Hashem HaKetz Achron, God sealed, closed the ultimate end of days. In order, Kadesha Bechol Dor V'Dor Yevakshu Et Bnei Hashem, so that in every generation people should seek out God, Ben David Malkom, and they should pray for the kingdom of David. V'lo Yevakshu Lios Toshavim V'Yarzo Salman, they shouldn't seek to be real citizens in the nations of the world. Rather, be you Mechakim Ketz Yishuasa Yitomah, they should be waiting for the end of God's salvation. Kasher Bavoneinu, here is his classic comment. Bavoneinu midazu mitzuya beinenu, this measure, this is found in our midst. Afil bizman shein haketz nada, even now that we don't know when the end is. Mikol makom radim heim ha'amei ha'oretz ha'mityashvim v'arzot ha'amen, there are so many people who settle in for the nations, amongst the nations of the world. Bon lehem batim spunim v'chashuvim shel avnei binyan hakim, and they build for themselves palatzen, they build for themselves beautiful big homes. Can you look like we're going to be here forever. Ubesibazu, because of that, lo olam einom dorshim et pnei Hashem, they never seek out God b'chol lev lahaviyam ha'aretz, with all their hearts, that he should bring them home to Eretz Yisrael. Because they made themselves very comfortable. They have their beautiful homes, and they make it beautiful, more and more beautiful. So here it is. I mean, the Klei Yaakov was about 300 years ago, and here he is, he's speaking out, he has the guts to speak out against what. And then I imagine they knew how to build beautiful homes then too. So he says, that's why Parsha Zus Duma, because that last pasuk in Parsha Vayigash is something that sounds an alarm. It sounded an alarm to Yaakov and to Yosef then, and it has to sound an alarm to us at every moment in history. You always have to have, if you're going to build a beautiful house in America, make sure you have an apartment in Kfar David, you understand? And you don't live too far from Kennedy Airport. At least that. Let's go over to the other side. So now watch how the whole process, a process of education, is going to take place in this parasha. The whole parasha is the process of education. Yaakov says, don't bury me. Now, I'm just going to read quickly a number of sections in the parsha that don't appear on your sheets. I would have to put the whole parsha on the sheet. Before Yaakov Avinu dies, after he blesses or admonishes his sons, he repeats everything that he said to Yosef, he repeats to them. After he gives them the brachas, he says the following. Ela shiftei Yisrael shneim al-Zavirah, 12 tribes, and this is what their father spoke to them and blessed them. Vayitzavotam. And he commanded them and he said to him, Ani nesof alami, I'm going to be gathered to my people. Bury me, kivru oti alavotai. I'm reading from the Seder. Bury me with my fathers. El hama'ara, Hashem b'stei Ephraim achiti. And he describes the ma'ara and that we bought it fair and square. It's ours. He tells them every detail. So that now the command is not only to Yosef, but all of the children. And then there's a major part of the Seder that describes the march. There may have been thousands of people. The elite of Egypt, nations of the world, joined this march from Mitzrayim together with the sons of Yaakov. We're talking about a major procession. I don't know how long it took. And they went through Eifer HaYarden. They crossed the Yarden, came to Hebron. I mean, it's a major part of the Seder. All of this had one purpose. The one purpose was not only that Jews should know for all time that Yaakov Avinu wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but they're sending a message to the nations of the world. We're staking a claim. We've been away, and we may be away for a bit more, but this is the claim. And the Kanani were there, the Prizi, everybody saw what was taking place. What's fascinating is there's a detour that's made through Eifer HaYarden, through the east side of the Jordan, and then they come to the Mara. It could have gone straight up. I have a feeling that in some way this is a forerunner of the Yetzias Mitzrayim that's going to come 200 years later down the line. And here it is. It's all sort of what the Ramban calls throughout the Sefer Bereishis, Masa Avos, Siman Labanim. What happened to the fathers is an indication, a guide for the children afterwards. And here it is, this major procession. And then finally, let's go. Vayomer Yosef el Echav. Number 5. This is the very end of the Seder. The end of the Seder, the end of Sefer Bereishis. Vayomer Yosef el Echav. Yosef said to his brothers, Arachim Meis, I'm going to die. Ve'elukim, Pokod, Yivkod, Etchem. God is going to remember you. Ve'elo Etchem in Haaretz Hazot, that he's going to bring you out of this land. El Haaretz Hashem Yitbal Avrom, Yitzhak Liyak, to the land that he swore to give to Avrom, Yitzhak and Yaakov. Vayashba Yosef, as B'nai Yisrael Lemor. Yosef is doing exactly Yosef is doing what Yaakov did at the beginning of the Seder. Yosef is doing it at the end of the Seder. And he makes them take an oath. V'ha'alitem et atzmotayim mizeh. You shall take my bones out of here. I like the word mizeh. You know what's nice about the word mizeh? When you don't like something or somebody, you call him Ze, it. Get it out of here. When there's a sense of, he doesn't even want to call Mitzrayim by name. Take me out of here. Me Ze. Vayomer Yosef ben Meir ben Hashanim. Yosef died. It was 110 years. Vayacham tu also. Vayisim varon Mitzrayim. They embalmed him and placed him in a coffin in Egypt. And of course, the end of the story is going to come in Parashat Bishalach, as the Parashat Bishalach is going to tell us that as the Jewish people are on their way out of Mitzrayim, And Moshe took Atzmo Yosef Imo. Moshe's the one who went to the Nile, and I believe here is an extremely important character in Jewish history appears over here, Serach Bat Osher. Serach Bat Osher lived a few hundred years, and whenever important information was necessary, you knew to turn to Serach Bat Osher. Serach Bat Osher most probably was the one who was able to tell Moshe Rabbeinu exactly what a Friday night table by Yaakov Avinu was, with all the kids sitting around the table, the children and the angel. Serach Bat Osher lived 400 or 500, who knows how many years. And it seems she was the one who remembered, she remembered where Yosef was placed, where the Aron of Yosef, the hidden ark of Yosef. And she was the one who told Moshe Rabbeinu, that's where it is. And Moshe is the one who takes Atzmos Yosef, the bones of Yosef, out of the time. I give you a little section here, number 6, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, I'm just going to give you a little section of, I have a lot of time staying around the house, I spent a lot of time at home, you know, so the shiur begins, you know, like this, and as I walk around the house, it gets bigger and bigger. And then, of course, what came to mind is certainly, and here this is not an exaggeration, certainly the most famous Meshech Chochma, Rav Meir Simcha, in all of Torah. Most famous Meshech Chochma is the Meshech Chochma in Parshat Chukotai. And there in that Meshech Chochma, he gives us an analysis of Jewish history. It's done in very poetic fashion. And he says that Jews are going to come into a country, and they're going to settle in, and they're going to become part of the social structure, the economic community, and they settle in, and they begin to feel like they're at home, and this is it. Po Eshev Ki Yivitiho, this is where I'm going to remain. And then he describes how the wind begins to howl, and the storm comes down upon them, and they're forced to flee from one land to another until they find some other place. And he goes through this process a number of times. And basically, he's going to use the words, God, this is God's plan. Sheyedu Yisrael, Jews should always know that they are guests in whichever land they find themselves on the face of this earth. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, we're guests. And you know what? Very often we're only guests for a while. A guest for a limited period of time in history. And then he says, then will come the new storm, the tempest, the winds, the persecution, and then Judenhaus, it's going to start all over again. And the fact is that it happened so many times in history. So he says this was the point of Yaakov and Yosef in Pasha Vayechi. From the Chukotah, he takes us back to Vayechi. What makes that Meshech Chochma so famous is not only this analysis of Jewish history, but because he has one great sentence over there. And he describes at one point in time, he describes that Jews are going to become so settled in a land that they're going to think that Berlin hu Yerushalayim. They're going to think that Berlin is Yerushalayim. That made that Meshech Chochma, that those three words, Berlin hu Yerushalayim, that's what made that Meshech Chochma.
Or Vilna, or
is that here?
Or Baltimore, or yes? So there is something that we learn in Parashat B'Shalach. There we learn. There the pasuk says that Yosef had administered an oath: take up your bones with my bones with yours. And therefore the Gemara says that all of the Shvatim were buried here. By the way, I mean,
where?
In different places. You have to get a guidebook. I know someplace near Kfar Saba there's the kever of Binyamin. Binyamin HaTzadik, and Yosef, in Tanakh, we're told that Yosef was buried in Shechem, and the Medrash says that he told his brothers, take me back where you took me from. Take me back there. And well, ultimately, when he was buried in We know about Kevin Yosef. We know that was the tragedy of Kevin Yosef.
Yeah, well, that's why it's
that we didn't defend Kevin Yosef. You understand? In year 2000, take me back where you took me from. Now, just a few selections from this great Meshech Chachma. V'nei, right hand side. V'nei harishon, the first hamoded derech umelamed rosheho umalu. The guide and the one who teaches the great abomination, who Avinu Azok in Yaakov, our father, the elder father Yaakov, Asher Rod, Asher Yigro, Tanu Bachrit HaYamim, he saw what was going to happen to this people. He saw what was going to happen. Choshav, he thought to himself, Asher Nemgi Yeshivim Ish, Begoy Chazak Va'amitz Kimitzchayim Ilfanim, 70 people are going to be living in an empire that is as powerful and as mighty as Egypt. Halo yidbolu v'yidbatlu echol v'rivotrif avov, they're going to become submerged. They're going to become completely assimilated by the dominant society. Choshav tachbula v'enitzo, so he thought of a strategy and took counsel. Asher bonog yom shom, he's the one who told them, Remain unique in your clothing and in your names. He took the steps to make sure that they are going to remain unique, separate, distinct. Bodod en Yaakov, alone, singled out, separate. Am levodod yishkom, a land, a people that lives alone. Im Hoyor Yaakov Avi Kol Shifte Yisrael Kovushon, if Yaakov, the father of all the tribes of Israel, would have been buried there, Halo Hayubit Yashin Yerz Kanaan, they would have lost all hope of going back to the land of Canaan. On the contrary, you know, if they would have finally made it to Canaan, they would be running back to Mitzrayim for Kever Ovis, understand? Hashem Den Akarpa, Hashem Den Akarpa. If he's going to be buried in Mitzrayim, that's the end of the Jewish people. They're going to look at Mitzrayim like it is their homeland. Yaakov, you know, understands he can't permit himself to be buried in Mitzrayim. All that would happen is that the seed of Avraham is going to become just another part of the Egyptian people. Therefore, he commanded with all of his strength to bury him in the land of Canaan. So they should know the fathers of this people and all of their yichus goes back to the land of Canaan. And the next place where it's underlined, Vazen Nikva B'Nefesh Bonok, you know what he accomplished? What he accomplished was, it may be covered over with all sorts of layers of galus, but he made it a part of the soul of the Jew, that Eretz Yisrael is indeed deep down. He knows that Eretz Yisrael is done. That's what Yaakov Avinu accomplished. Vazen Nikva B'Nefesh Bonok, established in the souls of his children, Kishur Tiv'i, a natural ban lishtokek el Eretz Avotem, that they should desire the land of their fathers, v'lachshov atzman kigeinim, and they should consider themselves as strangers, nayikimina, greenhorns, temporary residents in whatever land they find themselves. And then on the next column, about 6-7 lines down, Bechem Tziva Yosef. Yosef did the same thing. Yosef commanded, Parkot Yivkodo Lekim Etchem, Va'alitim Et Atzmotayim Zeh, Bechem Kol HaShvotim. Not only Yosef did, But all of the Shvatim, and we learned that from one word in Pashat B'Shavat. Take your bones, take my bones up with yours, so that each and every one of the Shvatim told their families, don't leave us here. And this was in order to establish this modern principle, something that should be part of the genes of the Jewish people. Part of the genes of the Jewish people. Which brings us to another problem. The problem that we're faced with now is, I would say, similar to the problem that faced Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai at the end of his life. We talked about that in the Shir some 2 months ago. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gemara says, the famous Gemara says that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was in his final illness, his students come in to visit him, and they see that he's crying. He's crying, so they say to him, Rebbe Leben, Amud HaYemini, Ner Yisrael, the right-hand pillar, the light of Israel, Patash HaChazak, the mighty hammer, you are the strength of all the Jewish people. What are you crying about? What are you crying? So he says, would they be taking me before a king of flesh and blood? Well, if he punishes me, he cannot punish me eternally. Whatever he does to me, I'll take it down. Big deal. Wouldn't I cry now that I'm being taken before Melech Malchei Hamelochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God himself? I shouldn't be terrified. And then he says, lo, oh, then not only that, Ella, Yeshnei Drochim Refanai, there are two paths before me. One going to the left and one going to the right. One is to Gehenna and one is to Gan Eden. Ve'eini yodea, I don't know which one they're taking me in. So of course, Darshanim throughout the ages, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who saved Klal Yisrael, he saved Torah with his little request of Vespasian, give me Yavne v'chacholel, give me Yavne and her wise men. Vespasian must have laughed at him. Must have laughed at him. You have a coil over there with you guys who's fetching our bank in Yavne, you're listed. That's what you want. Can't have your Yavne. What Vespasian was incapable of understanding is that 2,000 years later, Rome would be only a place that one visits its ruins, while Yavne the Chachamel kept a Jewish people alive. I say that Yavne is, he may have been, I think Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was laughing at Vespasian. Yavne, he read it, Yibaneh. Klal Yisrael will be rebuilt by this. Fashtesnish, you Roman. You live for the now, you don't know what it's all about. Why was he crying? Why are there two roads before him? You know why he's crying? Because most probably his whole life, he didn't know whether he made the right decision. Maybe he should have asked Vespasian, lift the siege of Yerushalayim. Lift the siege of Yerushalayim. There was no way that he would ever know if he made the right decision. The only way that he'll know is when he finally is taken on one of those paths, he will know. But he doesn't know during his lifetime, he doesn't know, and that's what he's terrified of. I thought of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, because here we have in this Sedra, Yosef. After Yaakov dies, something very strange, sometimes it's overlooked, but after Yaakov dies, so it says the following. They've made all the avelus is over, yeah, and it says by Yadaber Yosef el Beit Paro. You don't have this. I'm reading from the Seder. Yosef spoke to the house of Paro, saying, "Im no motzosi chen beinecho, if I find favor in your eyes, dabru no ba'oznei Paro lemo, please speak on my behalf to Pharaoh. What? What? Joseph can't walk in directly? The Mishnah Lamelech can't walk in and say, top of the morning to you, Pharaoh. No, 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 no. He speaks to Beit Pharaoh. Yosef is groveling for protection. Im no matzosin chen beinechen, if I find favor in your eyes. Plus it goes on to say, you know what you should tell old Pharaoh? Ovish b'yali lemor, my father made me swear, saying, behold, I'm going to die. In the grave that I dug for me in the land of Canaan, there, they're burying. He needed protection until he hears from Paro, Aleihu Kavor, go up and bury. All of a sudden, Yosef is demoted. Demoted. You know what Yosef knows at that point? And we had mentioned this at the beginning of this year, we're going to get to it now. Yosef knows that nations have interests, not friends. And it's a mission in Pirkei Avos. We have it down there at the bottom. Shmaya Raftayon, number 7. Shmaya Raftayon, Kidu Behem. Shmaya Raftayon received the Torah from the generation before. And Shmaya Omer, Ehovet Hamalacha, love work, and Snot Harabonot, and does not mean hate rabbis. Snot Harabonot, over here, Rabbanot means a position of power. Stay away from power. You know, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, all right. And then, va'altit vadala roshut. Don't let yourself be known to government. Stay out of the way of government. On the last line, there's a Rashi that's underlined, saying, mekarvin lo la'odom elo l'tzore atzman. De Gaulle's great word was already said by Rashi, in France, you understand, 850 years before De Gaulle. Because they only bring people close to them. The Tzorach Atzmo, to their own needs, their own interests, apparently. Yosef already knows this. Yosef already has experience. Here, this is most probably the most important thing he can do for his father and for Klal Yisrael. And he's dependent on an act of kindness. Okay, go get me. Very difficult to be in that position. You know what Yosef knows? The honeymoon is over. The relationship between the people of Egypt and the Jewish people is going through a change. And someday it may very well be a radical change. Is he aware of the fact that there was a decree that God told Avram at the Briz Ben Asorim, Ki Ker Yiyez Aracha, your children are going to be strangers in the land, not theirs, and they're going to be tortured and they're going to be enslaved? Does he have some kind of an inkling of that? And even if he doesn't have an inkling of that, he does not have a good feeling about what's going to happen. And of course, we certainly see it in when he says to his brothers, you should take my bones out of Mizeh. He knows already. He knows already. He's a bright and intelligent person. He knows that the great relationship between the Jewish people and Egypt is over. It depended not so much on the greatness of Yaakov, nor on the wisdom of Yosef. It was all based on 2 years of famine. You understand? 2 years of famine. Okay. So he pulled them out of that terrible crisis. Okay. All right. So now, if Yosef is here toward the end of his life, would he not go through the terrible, terrible problems that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai went through? I brought my people to Egypt. I'm the catalyst. They may suffer terribly because of me. Why did I send those wagons? Why did I tell my father, come down Why didn't I go up to visit him? Why didn't I send food over there? Why did I do this? That's pretty heavy thinking. That's pretty heavy thinking. That can cause one a great deal of pain. How does he live with himself? How does he live with himself? For that matter, how has he lived with himself now for a good number of years? He knows what's happening. Here it is. The fact is that they were living very much in peace in the land of Canaan. Nobody bothered them. The fear of God was on all of the people around them. And he brought them to Mitzrayim. So the Eibushter repeated, he brought them to Mitzrayim. How does it work? How does he make himself? How does he explain all of this to himself? There's only one way. There's only one way. And that is most probably something that he thought about quite often when he was in prison, and when he was incarcerated, and when he was taken out of jail, when he reached the pinnacle of power. There's something here that he has to get to the bottom of it all. What is it all about? And I believe he comes to the conclusion. It comes to one conclusion. There's one unknown in the whole story. One unknown. One mystery in his whole life story. His father sends him to Shechem in order to find out how the brothers are doing grazing the sheep. And a man found him as he was wandering through the field. Now, he must have gone over that scene of a minute or two, 1,000 times in his mind. He didn't stop the man to ask. He didn't stop the man to ask, did you see some fellows around here grazing their sheep? The man is the one who approaches him and asks him, what are you looking for? And he answers him, et achai anochi mevakesh, I'm looking for my brothers. And he tells him, shamati omdim, I've heard say around here that they've gone to Dotan. Do you see what happens at that particular moment? As he's lost in the field. Here's God's great divine plan for the Jewish people. The plan calls for Yosef to go down to Mitzrayim. He has a meeting with destiny. Destiny must take him. Destiny, I mean the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Has to get him to his brothers. And all this whole profound tragedy has to begin to play itself out. But something went wrong with the whole plan. The plan, everything went wrong. If he doesn't find his brothers, you know what he does? He turns around, goes back home, says, listen, Pa, I went to Shechem, I went to look for them, I didn't find them. And he would have had a lot of good reason to do exactly that. I don't think he was looking forward to meeting his brothers out there in Shechem. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo gives a chanetzer. I always have this feeling that the angels in heaven must have been sweating and in terrible tension. There they see Yosef getting ready maybe to turn around and go back home. But wait a minute. He has to meet up with his brothers. The Rebbeinu Shlomo says, take it easy. Zarzachnish. Gabriel, go down there and tell Yosef in what direction to go. Yosef must have thought in his mind, amazing, this man, I don't know who he is. This man stops me and asks me, what are you looking for? And he didn't respond by saying, yashar, yashar, disham, disham. This man told me precisely where they are. Who was that man? It meant nothing to Yosef at the time, but when you're sitting in prison and you begin to think, how did all of this happen to me? You think back, and then you know what? It strikes Yosef. You know what strikes Yosef? It strikes him that he was, I wanted to say, a pawn in the divine plan. a major player in a divine plan. A major player. He had to meet up with his brothers there. The only way that he can live with himself, that he brought his family down to Mitzrayim, is if he realizes that this is exactly what the Rebbe Yishev wanted. There's no other way he's going to live with himself. Ah, but then you know what that means? What that means, therefore, is if he was part of the divine plan, you know who else was part of the divine plan? His brothers. And if so, the two of them were acting out a scene that the Rebbe Yishev wanted should play itself out. And if so, then he has to forgive them fully, and they have to forgive him fully when they realize they made mistakes, and that already, never to repeat that mistake, has already become, should have become part of Jewish consciousness. But in the final and ultimate moment, he sees there's a divine plan. Medrash number 8. Ki hai. This medrash is in Parshas B'Shalach. That Parshas B'Shalach, it says there that Yosef and Moshe took with him the bones of Yosef. Ki hashbeya hishbeya et b'nei Yisrael. Yosef administered an oath to the children of Israel. Lomosh Nepal in the medrash says. Why hashbeya hishbeya? It seems as though there are two oaths here. Elo. Who nishvalahem, he swore to them, she'ein b'libo alehem, that he holds and carries no grudge in his heart against them. V'hein nishbo'in lo, and they swear to him, she'ein b'libam Allah, in their heart they hold nothing against him. Do you know what happens therefore at the very end of the Sefer? It's only here. At this very end, before he dies and he administers an oath to them, that all of a sudden, at this moment, the machlokes is over. It's gone. They have forgiven one another. Hashbeya hishbeya. It's all over now. Because that's the way Sefer Bereishis has to end. Because the story of Sefer Bereishis is the story of brothers who are not able to get along with one another. And we know what the first one did. He just killed, Cain killed Hevel. Shem, Ham, and Yafes didn't get along too well in history. They were a pretty difficult bunch to deal with one another. Yitzchak and Yishmael were, Yaakov and Esav, Yishmael and Esav are the source of all anti-Semitism in the world. That's all. That's it. Sefer Bereishis, which is going to set the stage for the development and the growth, the emergence of a Jewish people, has to end with the people united. And look what there was over here to tear them asunder. Brothers selling their brother off into slavery. The Sefer cannot end until that's over. And therefore the Medrash so beautifully says, Hashbeya Hishbeya, there were two oaths. He swore that he has nothing in his heart against them, and they swore that they have nothing in their heart against them. Which really means one final point. The whole Sefer, beginning from Bereishis, Bor Elokim, and Hashemayim Va'aretz, until the very end of the Sefer, there's one theme, and the theme reaches its crescendo in Parshat Vayechi. And there it is. It's so clear for one to see. That first Rashi in Chumash, Amar Rav Yitzchak says, Torah should have begun in Sefer Shmos, in Parshas Bo. Who needed, and I'm extending the question, say, who needed all of Sefer Bereishis? Torah is a book of legislation. Where is the first mitzvah that's given to the Jewish people? HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, this month is the first of months unto you. That's in Parshas Bo. Why all of this? In order to tell Klal Yisrael and tell the world that God created the world and he apportioned the lands to those whom he wished to. He gave Eretz Yisrael to the Kanani and the Perizzi, and then he took it from them and he gave it to us. And that's why this whole Sefer, this whole Parshas Vayechi, is to inculcate that idea. Not only the Goyim have to know it. What was it that... Should I end quoting Ben Gurion? It's not so much important what the Goyim will say, but what's important is what Jews will do. Yaakov and Yosef and the Shvatim all want to get the message across. We have one home. We have one home. And that is Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Mashiach Chachma said. That's what Yaakov said. That's what Jesus said. That's what the Kli Yoga says. That's the whole parasha. Because that's the ultimate culmination of Sefer Bereishis. From the very beginning down to the end. One message. And boy, all of this was necessary. Otherwise, we would never, ever have made it back here. We're back here because of Rochel. We're back here because of Yaakov Avinu telling his children to bury him in Eretz Canaan. We're here because Yosef and his brothers demanded that they should be buried here. All of this was necessary to teach us that this is it. So that there's a unity in Sefer Bereishis. Beginning to end, all comes together. That's it. Zebu Zebu. We were in the track of access about 6 weeks ago. She was in the first one. I don't to know the whole stories. Property left, she's going to be
How is your wife?
It was moving very nicely.
good. Okay. That wasn't too much, was it?
She's going to get upset. I'm listening.
There you go. I just said grammar just to say, how was your wife? That's a deep question. But the thing is, the question is, if I know this, the one thing I did is, he would think I don't care.
I am able to know that somebody was going to think he died. As I said it, you didn't let me down.
But I would think that he would be.
I want to have so much time now on my